is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to the weekend news magazine, Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Outlaw here. A couple of the big stories I think we're all concerned with is the immigration on the border and this COVID affair that never seems to go away. And wow, that'll be true with today's program when you hear what we have for you there. First thing is the apprehension numbers, which are stunning. More illegal migrants were apprehended at the southern border in fiscal year 2021 than any previous year there ever before. So now we're in historical territory here for sure. And these numbers were just released on Friday afternoon from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. It's eye-opening. The Center for Immigration Studies will be here to talk about that. Also in China here, there are reports, although you're not seeing them yet, I am sure, of a new outbreak called the Nipah virus, which we will talk about today. And with Dr. Li Mingyang and Ilana Friedman be here. That is quite a story there. And also there's this evidence on the Wuhan funding with Dr. Anthony Fauci. You'll hear more on that. And that's really starting to smell, I guess be the best way to put that. And that is coming out in the light of day here finally. So people are calling for clearly his resignation. We're going to start here at the top here and talk about something that is near and dear to everybody. And that's going to be this forced vaccination and really forced mask wearing as well. But I think, you know, we see the evidence here every day with the outpouring of emails and all coming in here and people that, there's disputes within families, they're losing their jobs and careers. All of this is put under the pressure and the guise of this COVID exercise. And so here's the thing. People are now, leading to, they want exemptions, number one, but then some cases, those exemptions are being denied or ignored. And then the only other result you have is to file in court. And that can be a process. It can also be an expensive process. And that's part of the problem here. We're going to start that story right there with attorney Thomas Rentz joins us. He's the lead attorney in several of these major cases around the country here. He's been very, very vocal, rightfully so, against the CDC, the DHHS, and Anthony Fauci, who we were just talking about there. Let's start off with this announcement in the last couple of days here, where the White House has detailed their plans to vaccinate all the kids. So that's been pushing forward. Now you've got the kids trying to be vaccinated. You have others that are being forced to be vaccinated. And many, and I can see the correspondence here. I mean, we get them in the thousands, where people are forced to make these very difficult decisions. And many are doing it under quite duress. And they're going, in these situations to get this vaccine. Others are pushing for the exemptions. I've seen a couple of reports out there in the last few days. And I'm really interested to get your perspective on these court people that are trying to take this to court if the exemptions fail. I mean, the first line I think I want to ask you is, I assume, to try to get an exemption, whether it's a religious exemption or some other medical exemption. But when those fail, there's only other one, which is to take it to court. Of course, that takes money and time. In the meantime, there are deadlines on these things. People are being put in a hell of a predicament, aren't they?
They certainly are. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. So I'm just going to tell you right now that I'm pretty firmly of the belief that while you need to go after these exemptions when and if possible, you know, if you need to do that for your family, to take care of yourself, to prevent some of that coercion, the one thing that we all have to recognize is that those exemptions aren't going to be the long-term solution. There has to be some recognition of this fundamental right to bodily integrity. I mean, we recognize it in abortion, where you have, in abortion, you have a 100% kill rate. With COVID, you have a 99.9% recovery rate. So, you know, it's a tremendous legal inconsistency to suggest that abortion is a fundamental right based on bodily integrity. But, you know, to determine whether or not you want to get a jab for something with 99.9% recovery rate is not.
Well, but yet people are not able to make the decision themselves when your corporation or your company or your livelihood comes down, Tom, and they say, well, you got to do this in fact, I have some right now I'm looking at by, for instance, November 15th. That's the deadline. If you don't get it, you're fired. Other people are so outraged, they're just leaving their jobs and careers under this stress that they're under here. But when they're being fired and such, and the exemptions fail, what are the costs do they have? What's the route they need to take?
Well, I mean, they need to move on. I'm personally firmly of the opinion that they need to take a stand on this issue. I mean, this issue is too critical. That said, it's easier said than done for some people. Now, I'm going to tell you from a lawyer's perspective, it's my belief that the religious exemption, there's a lot of cases on this right now, and a lot of the employment cases that you're seeing around the country, and I'm so happy to see this, are from attorneys that are pushing on the religious exemption stuff. These companies are denying blanket religious exemptions. They're not even looking at them. They're just saying deny, deny, deny. And they can't do that. I mean, that's pretty clearly illegal. So,
but yet they're doing it, Tom. But they're doing it. So now let's stop, pause right there, because I hear what you say. It's illegal, but it seems like all the rules are out the window right now. But they are doing it. And then what recourse does one have?
Well, you got to understand something. And Malcolm, you know, listen, I mean, you and I were professionals when we want to keep this as proper as can be, but there's just a reality. We have one of the most lawless situations in America's history. And as much as I'd like to tell you that the recourse is, well, if we file the suit this way instead of that way, it's going to fix everything. That's just not the case, because they are disregarding the law on a daily, if not, you know, hourly basis. They're disregarding the laws related to bodily integrity. They're disregarding the laws related to the freedom of religion. They're disregarding all sorts of laws. Title VII's out the door. Ultimately, I'm a lawyer. I'm going to sue these guys into oblivion, and I'm going to keep suing them. But the reality is that we, the people, are going to have to stand up. You're going to have to take a stand. You're going to have to walk away from your job. You're going to have to be uncomfortable. It may not be what you want to hear. But if we don't take this stand now, we're not going to have the opportunity in the future.
Talk to me a minute about the success metrics, really and truly. One of the reports or studies I've seen, I think coming out of the Wall Street Journal, was saying that a lot of these cases are failing in court. And then I see other reports that say they are succeeding. What are the chances of succeeding versus failing versus all these mixed reports we are seeing?
Well, it depends. I mean, when this started out, you know, a lot of people filed suits on the lockdowns, right?
Right.
And there were a ton of those that failed, and those failed based on essentially a contest frequently between due process and the 10th Amendment, and the courts tended to favor the 10th Amendment. Now, I think there were things that could have been done better in those, and I actually have cases still pending from them. But, you know, the thing is just because you have a good case doesn't mean you're going to win your case. You may be legally right, but you still have to get it filed and get it put in there, and, you know, there's a lot to it. And you got to remember, we're fighting some of the best lawyers in the universe. I mean, these guys are smart. They know what they're doing. You got the power of the Department of Justice. You got the power of, you know, a trillion dollar industry. And so when you're fighting back on this, you know, the DOJ apparently doesn't care about people dying from these vaccines, and pharma's making money off of it, so they don't care. You know, so ultimately, you got to understand that these guys are going to leverage everything they can. And one of the things that we really all ought to be asking ourselves is about court reform. You know, the courts are at this point, they're dodging difficult political questions at times. And that's something that I really firmly disagree with. They say, well, it's a political question. We don't want to deal with it. Well, that's, you know, when there's a dispute about fundamental rights, to call it a political question and disregard it without looking at evidence, to my mind, is a failure of the court. But, you know, that said, these cases, some of them are great. You know, like I said, there's a couple groups out there that are really doing some great work on the religious freedom exemptions. And I think those are going to stand. I think they're going to win those cases. I'm not sure how it ends up looking. There's other people out there that are just, you know, some of the cases they're filing almost just to file. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't, for my part, you know, there's a time and a place for a class action. And there's a couple of really good attorneys out there that are looking at some class actions. But class actions, you know, everybody says, I want to file a class action. Well, they don't understand what they're looking at there. You know, I mean, a class action is a great way to make you know, to get a bazillion dollar settlement or solution from the court, but you're looking years and years down the road probably, and it's a very difficult process with all sorts of things involved.
This is how much a failure our political system is in this country, that now the pressure has been put on the courts and they're not playing well with this, is my sense. And you're seeing this all the way from the Supreme Court all the way down to the lower courts. I'm seeing it across the board. Am I making sense with what I'm saying here? And why should we be alarmed at that if that's the case?
If you're a judge, you're human. Right. And I don't care if you're a Supreme Court justice or if you're a municipal judge in a small town, you're still a human being. And, you know, if you're seeing over and over and over again that, you know, if you don't make a decision this way on a COVID case, everybody in the universe is going to die. Well, you know, don't tell me that's not going to weigh in on your thoughts. I mean, you know, it's hard to do that. So, you know, one of the things that some people were making real big mistakes on early on, and it's improving now, as some of the attorneys, they were conceding to the facts. They're saying, yeah, it's the worst thing ever. Everybody's going to die, but, you know, you still should rule in our favor. Well, you know, that's kind of silly. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, these guys are human. And they're going to try and find a way to say that. But when the media totally controls the narrative, it makes it hard for them to hear or see anything else. And then, you know, when you present those facts, you really have to dig and you have to find them and you have to present them credibly. If you really want that judge to take notice. At the same time, you got to remember, some of these judges are political animals. You know, I'm not making any specific accusations, but, you know, they're looking, they're like, okay, well, if I make this ruling, you know, that's the end of my career, or at least the end of any hope of going any farther.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we really got to get the politics out of law. Justice has to be blind. And I think for the most part it is, but it just... there's some serious issues in the courts, and the media's role in influencing the court is a disaster, which is why what we're doing right now is so important.
It is. It is, Tom. I would push back a little bit to you and say to you, and I think listeners who know me, I often, it's not the forum for it, but I believe justice is no longer blind. I kind of seen that happening. She started to get vision some time ago, actually. And now the mask is just about off, I believe. In fact, she's the one we should put a mask on. But in any event, that's exactly. That's another story for another day, brother. You and I should hash that out in the future. But let me end it here and ask you this, please. And this is important, Tom, because we have so many listeners who really need this information. And you're such a great voice and a beacon of light out there and of truth for an attorney. And I don't mean to say that in any disrespect to the profession, but I mean, it's hard to find a lot of truth out there. Resources wise, you mentioned other lead opportunities or resources or any resources you can really give to people right now, that because I'm telling you, the number of people that are in such duress right now, and they're fighting within families, they're fighting within businesses, they're fighting within communities. And they're putting under such major stress that unless that's really impacted your life out there or you or I, we couldn't possibly know what that feels like. What's your best recommendation or best resources for people that are put under these horrible situations, but they have to work, Tom? They need the job and they certainly don't want to get a divorce and on and on and on. So what can we suggest to them, please? What is it?
Well, I'm going to tell you that my first suggestion is one that no one wants to hear. And that's the reality that, listen, right now, our bodily integrity is under assault. If you don't have the freedom to control decisions about your health and your life, what do you have freedom to control? And the answer is nothing, right? So I'm going to just tell you right now that my first answer is, yeah, I understand all these things and I understand how bad they are. But, you know, you just got to take a stand. It's just that simple. Beyond that, Truth for Health Foundation, the ChristianRevolution.net, Frontline Doctors, there's a ton of groups out there that are doing really good things. If you need to do a lawsuit, well, it's tough. It's tough right now. A lot of the guys who are big in this are trying real hard to make sure that you know, they're hitting the big stuff that's going to make the biggest impact. But the reality is we don't have that choice. We either fight it or we lose our freedoms. And there is no middle ground in it, right? I mean, you fight now or you fight later. And our kids deserve better than this. So I think we got to take a stand. And if that means taking a stand, you know, against some tough things, well, you got to ask yourself, you know, if I won't draw a line in the sand when it comes to controlling my own body, for my kids to be able to control their bodies, for my kids to be able to control their futures, if I won't take a stand for this, what would you take a stand for? And I think that's the real question.
It is indeed. And you put it out there perfectly. Attorney Tom Rentz, appreciate his view. It gives you something to think about, friends, when we talk about freedom and liberty and the value and importance of this. As he says, if you're not going to take a stand on this, what is it that you will take a stand on? It's an interesting way to put the discussion, isn't it, now? You know, and a lot of those resources and contacts we have available at America Out Loud. You'll see a series of Q&As that I have been doing personally on my weekday show, The Voice of a Nation, with Dr. Peter McCullough. Those are the most listened to programs out there. And there's a lot of resources and tools available there that you'll see on our platform back at AmericaOutLoud.com. A big thank you to Attorney Thomas Rentz to get us started here. Up next, the Center for Immigration Studies, the apprehension numbers, all that's happening at the southern border. It's a massive story. And this has, and if you think this is the border state's problem, well, you know what? You'll need to wake up now and understand that they are being bussed and flown all over the country, all 50 states. So, my friends, this is going to impact you and your communities as well. And these are policies that are toxic for America. Stay right there. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all. Welcome back to Viewpoint this Sunday. It's Malcolm Out Loud here, yours truly, and thank you for being with us on the mission, my friends. You know, there was this mindset that, and I know because I've talked to a lot of people throughout the country, where they think, well, that's kind of a problem for Arizona or Texas. Not really my problem, you know. And that really was a sense. I mean, they were dealing with other problems or crises. And then when you see the administration bussing and flying people all over the country, well, I have a news bulletin for you, my fellow Americans. It's collectively our problem because it's impacted the entire country. And it's doing it in a way that is not going to raise your standard of living by any stretch of the imagination here. Let's talk about that next. And excited to have on here Andrew Arthur, and we'll call him Art. He's a former immigration judge and now the resident fellow in law and policy for the Center for Immigration Studies. And as you know, CIS is a Washington, D.C. based research institute. examines the impact of immigration on our society. And CIS is second to none. I mean, they're remarkable, the work they do. You always hear the voice of Mark Gregorian, and a lot of their elite fellows here, like Art, are doing tremendous work here. Now, Art, it's a pleasure to have you on Viewpoint this Sunday. Thank you for joining me, brother.
Thank you so much for having me.
Every time you think you're around the corners on this conversation, the report's coming out Friday from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. More illegal migrants were apprehended at the southwest border in fiscal year 2021 than any previous year ever. Now, when we say it that way, that means we're in historical territory at this point. And it's remarkable. And my guess, Art, is that Americans have been hearing about our border problems for so long now due to the ineptness, stupidity, and arrogance of Washington, D.C., that most folks probably tune it out. And it's become, I think, this is me speaking now, a vanilla type story to millions. When you say, so here's what I want to ask you. When you say in your piece, you have a great piece up at CIS.org, all-time record for Southwest border apprehensions in fiscal year 2021. When you reference national security, humanitarian, and law enforcement disaster, can you describe in real world details what this really should mean to us, please?
Absolutely. And you were kind to mention the fact that I was an immigration judge. I was also the staff director for the National Security Subcommittee under Chairman Ron DeSantis, who's since gone on to bigger and better things in the Sunshine State. But national security has been something I've been involved in as it relates to immigration since the 90s. And when you have large numbers of individuals who are unscreened entering the United States, we really don't know who they are or what their intentions are. Individuals could be processed by CBP, they could be apprehended by Border Patrol, and they could be released, and we would never know that they were problematic. But the bigger issue that we have is that all those individuals who are coming to the border, and we saw the pictures from Del Rio last month, they swamped Border Patrol resources. I was in Del Rio 7 weeks ago, and I didn't see a single Border Patrol vehicle on the road. And the only agents that I saw were down at the river who were actually, processing migrants who were turning themselves in. An estimated 400,000 individuals who have gone completely unscreened have entered the United States illegally last fiscal year in FY 2021, most of them since the advent of the Biden administration. We don't know who those individuals are. We don't know what their intentions are. We know that individuals have exploited the immigration system in the past to come to the United States and carry out terrorist attacks. The most notable of that group are the September 11th hijackers. They came in on visitor visas or student visas, although they didn't have the intention to do any good or visit any landmarks. They had the intention to blow them up. Now, that was a screening failure, but when there's no screening done at all, then that is a failure at the border. The Biden administration is under an obligation to gain operational control of the border, and that's under the 2006 Secure Fence Act, which Joe Biden actually voted for. That means that operational control is defined as preventing any illegal migrant from entering the United States, and that's largely because of national security. So what we're really looking at when we have 1.659 million people enter the United States illegally, as we did in 2021, is a national security failure. It is beyond recklessness. It is malfeasance going on at the border with respect to the national security. And the danger that the American people have of one of those individuals or many of those individuals having terrorist intent is sky high. And again, I have been involved in this field. I was the head of the National Security Law Division at the former INS. So I'm a person who speaks with a certain amount of authority on this. This is a national security issue. It's a law enforcement issue, of course, because of the drugs and other contraband. And of course, the ability of cartels to ship guns south and contribute to the violence in Mexico is another law enforcement danger that this all poses. So, yes, it's a national security, it's a law enforcement, it's a humanitarian disaster.
Art, that 400,000 number, and I wanted to ask you, that where does that estimate come from? That, because I was wondering what that number really is that are totally unaccounted for.
Well, we had estimates before of the number of individuals who were not successfully stopped at the border. Right. Those numbers were, up to 50% in the early 2000s before September 11th, before Congress beefed up security at the southwest border. That dropped to around 32%. So you can figure out the numbers by the number of people who are apprehended, how many people aren't apprehended. The other thing is, Border Patrol is able more or less to figure out how many gotaways they have. And gotaways are the actual term of art that we use for individuals who aren't apprehended. Border Patrol, curiously, has released those numbers under the Biden administration. But the best figure that we can come to, about 32% of all people who enter illegally are not caught. You can do the math and you can figure out that that's about 400,000 people.
Okay. Okay. Now, interestingly enough, all right, so here we have the previous administration in D.C., the Trump administration, was pushing the boundaries on immigration. He made it a cornerstone, just as he made China, of his administration, to the pushback of the entire establishment in Washington, trying to build a wall, trying to do all these things, making deals with Mexico and others of what, you know, the Stay Mexico policy, so on. Now, all of that took place, many would suggest, for the betterment of what he thought was the American people. Now all those policies are flipped or reversed. The media was outraged, and the media made the center of their campaign to offset Trump, speaking about the kids in cages, how egregious his policies were, so on and so forth. Yet now we all know the media is totally silent. There is no mention of cages, kids, or anything else, or COVID exercise. I mean, there's so much wrong with that border, including the terrorist piece, which is very alarming to me and has been for a long time, and that you bring up just a moment ago here. What is it going to take to wait? Is it going to take another 9/11 kind of event to really, which you hate to say that, but I don't know what that means in regards to everybody, the entire world. In fact, they probably know on other planets at this point that our border is open and you're welcome to come in. So who the hell knows who else we're going to have in here? What do you make of that? And what's it going to take to wake people up?
Well, we know that, more than 300,000 of those individuals, that 1.659 million who were apprehended, came from countries that weren't Mexico and weren't, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, which have been the primary sending countries in recent years. These are people from all around the world, Chinese nationals, Russian nationals, and nationals of countries that pose a certain level of concern. So, that is a very real concern. And again, we don't know how many criminals are mixed up in that flow or how many criminals entered the United States illegally. We do know that Border Patrol has apprehended people who have committed, sexual crimes, rapes, child molestation, and drug dealers who have come in. So, even among the people that have been caught, we know that they're bad actors. We can assume that the bad actors don't want to be caught and that they're going to be more primarily in that large group of gotaways. So we're going to start to see press reports come out about individuals who have committed crimes in the United States after entering the United States illegally. Again, the Biden administration can keep a lid on that to some degree because they're going to be, they're not going to, reveal the nationality or the immigration status of, certain criminals. But yes, I mean, I hope that there is not another terrorist attack. Fortunately, we did beef up when I was on the Hill, our ability to, deter and to uncover terrorist attacks before they take place. The world before 9/11 was a scary place, and most people didn't realize it for exactly the reasons that you're saying. They were, distracted by other things. But I think that the biggest issue that's actually going to drive a change is going to be politics. We have midterm elections coming up in November of 2022. Election season is really going to start in about 2 months. And so there's going to be more heat on the Democrats who control both chambers of Congress to actually, get the border under control, because this is not a good issue for the president. I think polling recently released said that about 27% of independents approve of the job that the Biden administration is doing at the border. And I think it's about 30% that approve of the job that he's doing on immigration generally. Right. So, you know, those Democrats who control by the slimmest of margins, both the House and the Senate, are going to want to keep control. And if they see this as a vulnerability, and it plainly is for the president and for his party, they're going to demand that there be stronger steps. There is that progressive caucus in Congress who, you know, wants to have open borders and doesn't want to see anybody detained. But Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are both, you know, smart political actors of 70, you know, plus years of life and 50 plus years in politics. They know what that's going to take. Now, whether they're able to, you know, tamp down the progressive wing that wants even more permissive immigration policies is a different issue. But right now, that's a losing issue for the Democrats, and it will spell electoral defeat in 2022. Mm-hmm. So I actually think you're going to see more action in Congress in the second session of the 117th Congress to actually look at these issues. There hasn't been a single hearing in either the House or the Senate on the border this Congress. And that's a huge issue. I think that, you know, that political pressure is going to build and that there will be, you know, impetus to actually, you know, get some control of the border. Now, the signs aren't good because the Biden administration has a proposed regulation that just closed for comment. The center filed an 83-page comment, which had 433 footnotes. You can imagine what a monster that was. That it, you know, addressed the vulnerabilities in what they're proposing. But basically what the Biden administration wants to do is have the power to release every illegal migrant into the United States under the guise of not having the ability to detain them. The policies are going to have to change. I think there's going to be pressure from Capitol Hill to change those policies. And that's going to happen sooner rather than later.
As long as I have followed politics in my life, Art, you know, immigration, illegal immigration has been a controversy all the way back before the Reagan years. We've never really fixed it. Will we ever see the power brokers in D.C. implement some type of a comprehensive immigration plan that is good for America? Or does this continue to be used as a political tool for the foreseeable future? Because we've seen no change on this. Or is this just a matter of this pain actually could be a good thing? And maybe we just have to go there and roll the die and take our chances and hope that something doesn't happen that's that egregious. But the damage is being done pretty extensively to the fabric of our country right now. You're not going to be able to fix a lot of this as it continues on here.
No, you're not. And, you know, those are all important points. And it's actually worse, I think, now than it has been in the past. You know, in previous Congresses, we actually did see some, you know, bipartisan movement in which there was in which there were proposals to amnesty, you know, large numbers, millions of individuals in exchange for some sort of actual immigration enforcement, some law enforcement in the interior at the border. But right now, there doesn't seem to be any appetite on the part of Republicans for amnesty. And there's no appetite whatsoever on the part of Democrats for any sort of law enforcement. The president rolled out his big amnesty plan shortly after he took office, and that amnesty plan contained absolutely no enforcement mechanism. In fact, it would have allowed a lot of people who had been convicted of some very, very heinous crimes to not only remain in the United States, but to be given green cards and ultimately citizenship. So, but again, you know, the one thing that makes me hopeful, and I've been doing this now for 30 years, is immigration is cyclical. There are these, you know, ebbs and tides in public opinion and in politics that, you know, lead on the one hand to more enforcement and on the other hand to less enforcement. We're probably at the nadir of less enforcement I've ever seen in my life, and looking at the statistics ever in American history. Immigration enforcement used to be a bipartisan thing. Bernie Sanders used to warn about how big business wanted an open border because it allowed them to exploit workers. Well, I think that Senator Sanders has tossed in his lot with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar now to, you know, keep hush. But, you know, you know, deep in his heart, he knows that this isn't good for working Americans.
Well, deep in his heart, he knows that, but why does he still go along with that? I mean, what's the impetus that he doesn't come out? You're right with what you said there. There was a time when he would say that, but why then? Why does, you know, what?
He wants all the other goodies that come with progressivism. You know, he wants, you know, more government spending. He wants a larger social safety net. I don't want to use the word socialism, although he is a socialist. But, you know, these are things that we see in socialist countries that have certain advantages the United States doesn't have. And, you know, I think that right now he, you know, is willing to do a trade-off and keep mum about, you know, his concerns about working Americans. But the important thing to note is working Americans vote. And, you know, we definitely saw that. If you want to look at the single reason why Donald Trump got elected, it's because there is a large number of people. There are a large number of people who live between the coasts, and many live in cities, you know, along the coast. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. I know plenty of people who were strong Trump supporters, but not traditionally supporters of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And, you know, those individuals have a voice and they will express that voice because they do see it. They see it in the hospital rooms and emergency rooms when they can't get treatment for themselves or their kids. They see it in schools. You know, schools have suddenly become a huge issue in the Virginia gubernatorial race.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that really reflects, you know, that populist instinct within the electorate that we need to make the schools good.
But so if right now, with the Biden policies and the plans they have, and a final thought from you here, with all of that said, Art, you know, the only thing that's going to change this, I think you would agree then, is going to be those midterm elections. I mean, there's nothing in line here that's going to change these. These policies are very well established in the minds of the Sanders and Biden and that administration he's got here. They're not going to change anything they're doing with open borders now. They're on a plan of attack somehow about this. So it's really going to have to be the vote, isn't it? That's it.
It really is. But again, and, you know, I hate to bring this up because I hope it doesn't happen. But when I look at the vulnerabilities right now, and when I talk to other people, you know, who I worked with, who I trust,
right,
in the national security apparatus of the United States, the possibility of something extremely bad happening as a result of this, you know, it's not even open borders anymore. It's no borders.
No, it's the Wild West borders. It's the Wild West is what it is.
It is. And, you know, the border has always been sort of like the Wild West, but right now it's the Wild West where the border just doesn't exist. And so, you know, the possibility of something very, very bad happening is high. I hope that people come to their senses. I hope that the administration recognizes that there's a problem, although the president says he's too busy to go to the border at this juncture. But, you know, I hope that people come to their senses before that happens. But yeah, I think politics is really going to be what changes this. I think there's going to be a firm reaction from the enforcement side. And, you know, my biggest concern is that in the course of all of this, and I truly believe in immigration and the center believes in immigration, that the American people are going to lose their appetite for immigration. They're going to see this. They're going to see the effects and they're going to turn against immigration. And I think that that turn is going to be hard. And I think it's going to be harder than even I want. But that's what I see happening.
You know, I want to mention the Center for Immigration Studies. Again, I am a huge fan of this organization. As you hear Art here, you'll see exactly why. And let me mention, there's a panel discussion on Wednesday, the 27th of October. And I want to point that out to you because they deserve all of our support. And the work they're doing is second to none. That's at 9 a.m. Eastern time, that panel discussion. And it's the Asylum Reform and the Border. And you can go to CIS.org and get all the information there for that panel discussion. Tremendous thank you here to Andrew Arthur, affectionately known as Art, and appreciate his insights here on these numbers. And he puts it out there perfectly, my friends, as far as what needs to happen next. Up next, there's this other big story on China. We'll talk about the Wuhan Fund and the NIH and all of that. We got Dr. Lingmeng Yang and Alana Friedman coming up here. But there's also some very disturbing news that nobody is talking about. And there are indications there is a tremendous, and I don't like to be fear-mongering here, but an outbreak in China called the Nipah outbreak that is wreaking havoc there in China. Don't hear much about this out there, but we will hear more about it coming up next here. Stay right there. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Now, in this next segment here, I'd like to talk to you a bit about a couple of stories coming out of China that are very, very important. And I think we need to shed some light on these here. Joining us in the next segment here will be Dr. Li Mengyang is here. She is an independent virologist and whistleblower who called out the CCP, as you know. She is one of our contributors and commentators at America Out Loud. Also, Ilana Friedman. Ilana is a veteran intelligence analyst. She focuses on worldwide political affairs and terrorism, counter-led terrorism. She's the author of the book, Hamas Care, The Muslim Brotherhood, The Plot to Destroy America, that is available in the America Out Loud bookstore and on the front page, actually, as you listen to this viewpoint this Sunday at AmericaOutLoud.com. The National Institute of Health is now admitted to funding gain-of-function research at that lab in Wuhan, China. Now, this is remarkable for a lot of reasons. Number one, we haven't had that admittance till now. And, you know, their poster child, Dr. Anthony Fauci, continues to be, as you see a lot of the in-your-face kind of videos coming out with Rand Paul, Senator Paul, back and forth. He is continues to state that tax dollars were not used on the funding. So this kind of puts it in a very interesting place. An NIH official admits that a limited experiment was conducted in order to test if spike proteins were naturally occurring bat coronaviruses circulating in China. Were capable of binding to the human ACE2 receptor in a mouse model. Dr. Li Mengyang, let's start with you on this story. Now, the impact of this coming out of that Wuhan lab and the fact that the NIH is admitting this, you know, there have been a lot of people over a long period of time calling for Fauci's removal and firing, if not his resignation or whatever, from this. This is kind of an interesting twist now to the story. What do you make of this at this point, and what will become of it?
The thing is, you're talking about the NIH statement about Fauci and Dashiell Hammari. Actually, it's another proof to Americans that they are lying to you in the pandemic. That is very, very important, because such people in such high position, they are lying to you from the beginning of the pandemic. And that's why until now, you are still suffering in the COVID crisis. So what I'm doing is to helping Americans to understand these kind of lies. So Fauci is lying, WHO is lying, and they were using American people's money to facilitate China to do this kind of dangerous gain of function programs, and these are already confirmed. And what shall we do? The next step is China is still there. If you allow Chinese government there, they will fund the next Fauci, the next Peter Daszak. They will turn more Americans into their plans to help them to produce more novel, unrestricted bioweapon. So we have to control China. That is the root of all these crises. Now you know they are lying to you, you should feel angry and you should hold them accountable, and that can prevent the later on such pandemics.
Ilana, you know, this whole thing with the bioweapon, really, you know, my sense is that this bioweapon story, it was not going to go away. And truth is, I think it's a new future of what we're going to be fighting here. And we'll talk about more of these other potential viruses in a moment here. But with this new information with the NIH, people are still wondering, why is Fauci still there? I'm wondering if it's now, how do they offset this? I mean, I don't even begin to know. Or does Fauci gracefully, I get a sense his days are numbered there, and I don't know what you think about it, before he bows out for some other reason. But they never take accountability for the problem, so I don't know that they'll ever do that. What is your take on this news?
It's a very peculiar situation, but it's one, I think, that is maybe symbolic of a lot of things going on in the deep, dark recesses of our government that we don't know about, that we should know about. This was based on a $3.1 million grant. It was awarded for a five-year period between 2014 and 2019. And it was finally canceled by Trump in April 2020. This grant directed $600,000, among other things, to the Wuhan Institute of Virology for bat coronavirus research. It can't get any clearer than that. This is something that Fauci has lied about from the beginning. The World Health Organization lied about from the beginning. It's not that the disease just happened. It was a bioweapon, as you have said, Malcolm, and you have said, Dr. Lee. This is very, very serious.
There's another interesting little news bite on this, Dr. Yan, I want to talk about here. And that is this director of the NIH, that, I don't know if a lot of people are aware, but Francis Collins will be stepping down from his post at the end of this year. Now, he, as a footnote, is the longest serving NIH director. He has served three presidents over 12 years. It's an interesting statement he puts out there, which, listen to this here. He was on an interview with CNBC, and he said that the vaccine hesitancy in America was drastically underestimated in the rush to get a viable vaccine approved. Almost 70 million Americans remain unvaccinated, leading to more daily deaths, he says. And he says, and I quote, "I wish we had somehow seen that coming and come up with some kind of a myth buster approach." So what he calls a myth buster approach is the fact that, as we reported early on in the program today and every other program, they're forcing this on to people against their will. Maybe they should have foreseen that rather than pushing this agenda and violating everybody's freedoms. The timing of this director pulling out, Dr. Yan, any sense of this? And I'm just wondering if we're starting to see maybe the fallout. I don't really know, but if there is, and some accountability here now with the NIH and WHO, as Ilana mentions. What do you think?
Malcolm, actually, it's very clear that Francis Collins, the former NIH director, was lying for many things in the pandemic. First, last February, he supported the Lancet letter from Peter Daszak that he wrote his blog claimed that virus come from nature, and who else said the COVID come from lab is conspiracy. That's what his work. And now he's telling you that vaccine and unvaccine people, he talk about unvaccine is kind of false. However, this is their tricks. They know the vaccine cannot stop transmission and also cannot prevent the next kind of outbreak. But they try to make you believe that it's a fault of the unvaccinated people. And later, when you all get vaccinated, they will blame you that you didn't get booster. And when you get booster, they will blame that your kids didn't get booster. That's their tricks, because vaccine can never solve this pandemic, especially this immature vaccine. And now you say Colin stepped down. Trust me, he won't step down just because he is too old at this position. Right. He stepped down because he has some problems, and he tried to get rid of such problems, and combined with all the other news, like the NIH new statement about Fauci, about Peter Daszak, you will see more clearly. I mean, these Americans who helped China to actually bring trouble to America, they should be held accountable.
The other big piece to this I want to talk to both of you on right now, I've had a sinking suspicion and a feeling for some time now that this bioweapon chapter that we're in now is a new age, really, just as cyber threats and cyber warfare is a new age. And this is a great concern because our future generations are going to be fighting these battles that I'm talking to everybody right now about. It's not going to be a traditional war. The old wars with military that you've seen in the world wars and others, that's going to become a thing of the past. And you're now seeing hypersonic missiles, things like that being thrown around. We've been talking about. So the narratives are now changing. I think the concern is these other, and I've actually questioned this on air, and I've talked to Dr. Li Mengyang about it. I've talked about others. You know, what else is going on in their laboratories, right? I mean, come on. And so now there are reports, and I want to start and open this up with you, Ilana, because I know you have a report to talk about on this. But there's what's called the Nipah virus, N-I-P-A-H, to spell that for you here. And there are reports now that this is a pretty hot item, but nobody's talking about this. So nobody's really probably even heard what I'm going to tell you next. But there are reports that now there are things coming, just like we started to hear those reports, actually, Ilana, when the coronavirus was happening late that year. Remember, this is before it hit here in January 2020. We started, you and I were talking about it on air. Now, here we are talking about this Nipah virus. Tell us what you know about this, please.
Well, I can tell you what I have heard through my intelligence channels to say that this is the whole story. It probably isn't, but this is what we know. It is the Nipah virus. It's becoming a very serious problem in China. And what I have been hearing is that it has spread through 10 provinces in China, which the government, the CCP, has locked down in order to contain it. According to what we know, the Nipah virus is very, very strong and much more lethal than the COVID-19. But what I have heard about it is that the 10 provinces in China that are being now assaulted by this virus, which, by the way, I have also been told has come from the Wuhan lab as an additional experiment in bioweapons. And what is happening is that all domestic flights in and out of these provinces have been canceled. I don't have any information about international flights, which was the problem with the COVID-19 when China allowed international flights out of Wuhan, and that's what began the global infection.
Now, Dr. Li Mengyang, as we hear what Ilana shares with us there, you know, it's sort of, in my mind anyways, it's a deja vu moment because we heard this all before back at late 2019 and late that year when it was referenced that we were hearing these signs. And again, Lana and I talked about this on air, about the crematoriums burning in Wuhan and other things were going on with the, you know, and they stopped the domestic travel, but international travel opened up. What are you hearing about this Nipah virus? Any truths to these reports we're hearing?
Oh, hi. Thank you, Anna, for sharing this intelligence. It's very important. And what I want to explain is based on scientific opinions. Okay. That first, I mean, China, of course, in scientifically, they always lie. This can be verified and repeatedly verified. And so don't worry, China government always hide and also cover up things and spread misinformation in China. The second thing is Nipah virus is not a novel virus. It is quite lethal. It's like half people or even more can be dead during Nipah. And it always can come from the animal to human and the transmission, and it has caused outbreak in the history. And the third thing is Nipah virus is undergoing a function, a modification in Chinese weapon labs. And these are all the things you can verify, but I want to tell that don't have the panic. China government want the people to have panic. And actually in China, Nipah virus definitely can be controlled if they want to control it. And overseas, all the government be, they are aware of Nipah. This is already a very dangerous virus known and on their biodefense list. So if this is something China wants to use to launch bio attack, there is no way they can make the pandemic. Maximum very small range of the outbreak happen somewhere, and it will be controlled well because government all have their protocol to deal with it. However, China wants the world have the panic. They want the world to believe this kind of virus always can jump from nature to human. And then you will believe that COVID-19 also is another virus jump from nature to human. That's their tactics. And as I told you, they always have more candidates in their unrestricted bioweapon arsenal. They will just use it for their own purpose when they want. So if you don't control China, this kind of problem will happen again and again, and you will be exhausted.
Yeah, well, we're already getting exhausted. I can tell you that people around the world and Americans are all exhausted. Anything that's related to talk about any kind of virus, the fear that Dr. Li Mingyang talks about there is accurate. People are fearful because that fear has been put into the populace right now about these kinds of statements. You know, it's a matter of what can we do in our own lives to impact ourselves and our families, our friends and acquaintances to keep safe. And that's really the point here. What are the things we can control? What are the things we can do? And pushing back on the CCP and China's outreach has got to be first and foremost at the top of that list. We will keep our eyes and ears open, believe me, on this Nipah virus. We'll talk more about this in days ahead with Dr. Li Mingyang, Ilana Friedman, and others as it may develop this story. I don't really know at this point. It's relatively new. It's why you're not hearing much about it. But again, I mean, where do you hear any truth today? Hardly anywhere. That's our goal here, is to get that truth out. And as I say often, the truth can hurt. There can always be pain attached to the truth, my friends, but it is the truth and it needs to be addressed right up front here. Extraordinary conversations today, extraordinary program here, a tremendous thank you. Attorney Thomas Rentz right up front. If you missed that, you want to go back and hear him, absolutely outstanding. The Center for Immigration Studies and what's happening at the border. Wow, that was a powerful segment. About our immigration plight and what's happening. And now we're talking about the NIH Wuhan funded laboratory story that's coming at peak curiosity now that the NIH is admitting what they're admitting, and this potential Nipah outbreak in China. A tremendous thank you here to Dr. Li Mingyang and Ilana Friedman. Now, we're all back there at AmericaOutloud.com. Friends, you know the drill. It's all there to share and inform the world the truth and the out loud truth, as I always call it here. And we'll continue on for liberty and justice for all. Thank you for joining me on the mission here on Viewpoint this Sunday. We'll see you during the week on The Voice of a Nation, 6 and 10 p.m. God bless. Take care. Remember, it's time to get involved and get loud.